Welcome back, everybody. Today is day 8 of the Holy Spirit Novena, and we're speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Now, sometimes when you look at the Catholic Church right now, it's sort of like looking at trail mix. Trail mix made up of fruits, flakes, and nuts. I don't know if there are any nuts or flakes watching today, but we are called to be fruitful. I worked on that intro, guys. I hope you're not offended by it. So we're talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
When the soul is docile to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit, it becomes that good tree, which is known by fruits. These fruits enrich the Christian's life and are manifestations of the glory of God.
The fruits of the Spirit are manifestations of the glory of God in the Christian. What are the manifestations of the glories of the world in worldliness? Well, when we value, I think, four things: power, pleasure, pennies, and popularity. I call them the four P's. Power. The world glories in people who have influence. Number two, we have pleasure. The world glories in pleasure. I saw an interview recently with this lady. She was asked, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you? She said, 8. The guy then said, well, how can you get to a 10? And she said, if I never have to work another day in my life. So her idea of happiness, glory, was that it would be a life of ease. You don't have to work again. So then we have popularity. The world glories in the popular. Do you remember the first time you heard the word selfie or took a selfie? That term didn't exist 30 years ago. And so we live in a world that glorifies the self. And the last one, the pennies, the money. The world glorifies in those who have a lot. Now, if you notice something about these things, the glories of the world are very different than the glories of God, which are the fruits of the Spirit alive in our life. The fruits of the Spirit are different because God doesn't exclude anyone from His glory. Glories of the world are made for a select group of people, and the rest of us are on the outside looking in, and we wish we had part of their life or all of their life. But for the glories of God are for everyone. Nobody's excluded, no matter one's intellectual ability, economic background, geographical location, or what country you are from. The glories of God are for everyone. The other way it's different is the glories of God can't be taken from us. Power, pleasure, pennies, popularity, all are temporary. All can be removed from us at one point. Even pleasure, for example. There's a sadness in pleasure, worldly pleasure, because we know eventually it comes to an end. So that cookie, we just had a cookie, chocolate chip cookie. What glory eating that cookie? But the sadness is it's going to come to an end and you can't just keep on stuffing your face with chocolate chip cookies. So the glories of God are the fruits of the Spirit alive in our life. St. Irenaeus said that the glory of God is man fully alive. And so friends, the fruits of the Spirit are for us. They're foretastes of heaven. And yes, Catholics are called to be fruitful because it's a sign that we're rooted in love.
There is a false peace based on disorder, such as that which reigns in a family where the parents always yield to the children's whims with the excuse of having peace. The same applies in a city where, on the pretext of not wishing to upset anyone, criminals would be allowed to commit their misdeeds. Peace, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is the absence of unrest and the repose of the will in the stable possession of good. This peace supposes a constant battle waged upon the disordered tendencies of one's own passions. It just made me think of, you know, here in our family, sometimes I do give in to our children just so that I can have a moment of peace. But really, it's a false and fleeting peace because it actually teaches them bad behavior.
Vice.
And it gives into, you know, my lack of temperance. Like I can't, you know, I don't want to practice self-control, or I don't want to, you know, maybe discipline as I ought to, or I don't want to do the harder thing. And so in the end, it really just backfires.
So a false peace sometimes results of from bad parenting. And that's a struggle of parents, right? You know, that's a struggle. But, you know, we can understand this also, too, in terms of an addict. An addict, when whatever they're addicted to, they want it now, and they want it sometimes at all costs. And guess what? If you give an addict what they're addicted to, they experience some sort of temporary, if you want to call it, peace for a short period of time. until that thing that they have, the high, is worn off, and then they need it again. And then you enter into this cycle of hell. You give someone who is greedy all the money they want. And then in a moment or a time, they might be at peace until they realize they want more. Mm-hmm. You give somebody who's full of lust exactly what they want, satisfying every sexual bodily appetite. They might experience a temporary peace, but you know what? You can't get true lasting peace when acting out intrinsically disordered desires. Mm-hmm. That's peace. It's not possible to have peace while acting in an intrinsically disordered way. How does peace come? St. Augustine has this beautiful definition. Peace is the tranquility of order. So when our life is ordered according to the laws of God, according to what He has revealed, our life then takes upon this characteristic of peace. And the beautiful thing about peace is that it's contagious. And we bring peace to other people. Sometimes it's an act of charity just to work for peace for ourselves, because it affects those around us. Mm-hmm. Like a calm lake, it reflects the beauty around it. But when the waves are at turmoil, it no longer is as a mirror. Mm-hmm. And so we are to be a mirror in one sense, a reflection of the glory of God, a reflection of His goodness.
I notice that even in the home, you know, as a mother, if I'm peaceful, if I'm in a peaceful state, how it impacts the children. And if I'm not, that impacts children too, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So it's important to you know, try to maintain one's peace. You know, there's actually this really incredible book called Searching for and Maintaining Peace by Father Jacques Philippe. I've read it a couple times, and I just think it's probably one of my favorites.
It's one of those books that you have to read a couple times because you can spend a lifetime putting it into practice.
Yeah, true. It is not enough just to have a theoretical desire of good for others. True charity is an efficacious love which is transformed into actions. Kindness is precisely that disposition of heart, which inclines us to do good to others.
So friends, you've been journeying with us now for, is this 8 days now? Mm-hmm. And all of this is useless unless it's put into action. We got to live this. So we can talk all we want about being at peace and loving other people, but at one point it has to transfer into actions. And I feel like we've been so blessed by the kindness of others in our life, Janelle. Mm-hmm. I just think about what happened, was it yesterday? A friend came by and they heard that you liked lilacs. Mm-hmm. And they came by and had a big bouquet of lilacs, and then we put them in our house, and the whole house smelled up with that beautiful scent. And so that was great kindness.
Mm-hmm. Or even our neighbor.
Yes.
Who just moved out next door and saw that we had a bunch of children and was like, do you want some bikes? And we're like, yeah.
How about Nerf guns?
Sure.
Water guns and Lego. Mm-hmm. Just a big bin on our driveway. In fact, they did it anonymously, and then we figured out it was them. And I just feel like great kindness. Mm-hmm. And I just think about how we live. You know, to pay our bills, we are at the mercy and kindness of other people through Patreon support. And that's great kindness for those of you who watch, and we're so grateful. And it's humbling, but we're so grateful. And I just think, like, this, we're so blessed, and we are called to be kind to other people. And I feel like sometimes in our stage of life, what can we do? Well, what we try and do is we offer you these inspirational videos to hopefully help you in your growth in Jesus and grow in holiness. We give them free. They're there. We hope you're blessed by them. We hope it transforms you into action, doing something. We used to. We don't do that. But in our home previously, we'd open it up, and once a month we'd have people in for a potluck, and we would say the rosary. Mm-hmm. Hopefully an atmosphere of kindness, connecting people of like mind. We can't do this as easily right now in the home that we're in because of the space. But, you know, we look at our stage of life and say, what can you do? Well, we got 6 kids. The oldest is 11. Baby number 7 is on its way. So most of our kindness right now is limited to the family dynamics, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's beautiful. And that's where we're called to right now, to live the duty of the moment.
Yeah.
And to seek, to live out those gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then in turn the fruits within our home.
So I guess this is just to challenge you. What is your state of life, and how are you showing kindness right now, according to your state of life? Everyone's different. Everyone's different. Just to be aware, though, the model Christian life is not Ken and Janelle doing videos full time. You don't need to have a YouTube channel to live the fullness of the faith. This is just what we're called to. But what you're called to is different. So don't make the mistake, oh, I got to be just like these guys doing videos. No, no, no. You just do what you need to do in your current state of life. That's what the Lord wants of you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it looks differently. And the thing is, we need everybody. Everybody is part of this body of Christ. Whether you are at home with your children, or you are in the world, you know, driving a city bus or working as a nurse or whatever it might be.
Looking after your kids.
Mm-hmm. The Lord is counting on this daily, unremitting effort for the apostles' task to give fruit. If sometimes this is slow in appearing, if the effort we have put into bringing a relative or colleague closer to God should seem in vain, the Holy Spirit will make us understand that no one who works for God with rectitude of intention can work in vain. My chosen shall not labor in vain. Longanimity is seen to be the perfect unfolding of the virtue of hope. Okay, so this really stood out to me because I know there's a lot of you who had commented a couple days ago about, you know, family members that you've been praying for a long time, or certain intentions that you've been offering to God for years, and you haven't seen the fruits of those prayers yet. And what longanimity means is kind of like, you know, Job. You know how he had a lot of long suffering and it was very difficult, but yet he always maintained that peace despite what was happening around him, and he never lost hope. And that's exactly what Father Fernandez says, that it is seen to be the perfect unfolding of the virtue of hope.
And to add to that, that the chosen shall never labor in vain. Mm-hmm. What encouragement to those of us who feel like we are laboring and we see no fruit. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, we've got to be a fruitful Christian. But what if we don't see the fruits of our labor? We have the promise of God that the chosen never labor in vain. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing about the fruits is that they're from God. And so we don't have to worry about being fruitful. All we'd have to do is be faithful. And then God is in charge of the fruits, and he will allow them to bloom in our life. Like planting a tree. You want fruits on a tree? Plant the tree. Then God will make it grow and be fruitful. All we need to do is plant. And you're planting yourself in Christ by being faithful, sacramental life, sacrificing. We're just rooting ourselves in Christ. Mm-hmm. That's what we can do. God is in charge of the fruits, and he will cause us to bloom.
Right. And even so, like, sometimes we think that we want it to be successful, but like our, just like Mother Teresa says, God hasn't called us to be successful. He's called us to be faithful. So that's all we have to do. Faithful in our circumstance. Speaking of gentleness, Father Fernandez writes, it opposes those barren outbursts of anger, which really are a sign of weakness.
So friends, I just want to give a little shout out about gentleness, because there's Catholic voices out there looking at the state of the church, and I do too, and I have some great concerns about things that have unfolded and have happened. And I would just ask you, are the voices you are listening to gentle? Because you can speak the truth in different ways. It's important on how you speak the truth. I would disagree with, it doesn't matter how you deliver it. It really does. Because part of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness, and it's also a virtue. And so when proclaiming the truth, proclaiming correction, whatever the issue of the day might be, ask yourself the question, is this being delivered gently? And one of my people who I feel really exemplifies this is Ralph Martin from Renewal Ministries. I really admire the ministry of Renewal Ministries, and how, especially Ralph, and how he delivers the truth with clarity and charity. And he's one person that doesn't shy away from offering his words of correction or bringing up great concerns. And the way that he does it, and you just listen to him, he's so gentle. But it's true. And this is why I really appreciate his ministry and what he does. And so I think if you want to really see that exemplified online, where online stuff can be really divisive, I think he really does a great job. So that's Ralph Martin at Renewal Ministries.
So do you think there's ever a place for, you know, Jesus flipping over tables and things like that in the temple? Yeah. Like, I feel like maybe there is still a place for...
Yeah, when do we become... When do we become a table flipper? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But obviously there must be a time and a place where that's appropriate because Christ did it himself.
So are we disagreeing?
Well, I think we might be, and that's okay.
So I don't think we have the answers completely to this, but the point is if you want to see gentleness, I think Ralph Martin does a great job. Mm-hmm. Might want to ask him when he would flip a table. I don't know. So anyways, thanks for watching. Mm-hmm. Please share with us your thoughts on our commentary below. Pray to the Holy Spirit, linked at the end of this video. And tomorrow is day 9, so we will see you then. God bless.